Three for the Money is brought to you by the TrendCenter app. This is the best tool for sports betting research. The TrendCenter app, you can test betting systems from the past 20 years, explore thousands of existing trends and systems from top betting experts, choose from hundreds of filters to test different systems for each sport. Save these trends and get notified when their systems have games. Download the app and use our code TFTM for 15% off a premium membership after a 2-day free trial. Episodes every Thursday, brought to you by the Trend Center app, the greatest tool for gamblers on the internet. And now it's week two. Week one is over. Football's officially back. I think I can speak for all of us when I say that, you know, this week one is a learning week. We learned. This is the value we're taking out of week one, because week one was not great for me, personally. I don't think we all of us had a decent week. But you know what? Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The football still goes on, which means we still have to bet it. We have to, or we'll die. So, anyway, Chris, how did you do last week?
I mean, you kind of summed it up perfectly. Bad. I went 4-8, I believe. Just not good at all. Not good at all. The Titans choke in just brutal fashion. Everything was bad. Last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. It was either last week or 2 weeks ago when you asked me how I was doing. I said, how can you be sad in times like these? Because football is back. Well, I found a way. And it's by being terrible at betting on this sport. But that's the past. It's week two. I've got winners here. I feel really good about this card. So, you know, like the old saying, the past is the past. And we can only gamble on the games we have right in front of us. So, yeah, that's how I'm doing.
We only have a finite amount of football games left. I went 4-6, lost my, when we count the Thursday and the Friday games, I went 4-6, Sunday and Monday, I went 4-4, but counting Thursday and Friday, that definitely did not help me. Lost my Surefire. That sucked. I think all of us lost our Surefire, but
yes.
Oh, well. Doesn't matter. Move on to the next week. I will say, Sean with the snipe in the gambling group chat, without Sean's fucking expertise, he was like, yo, it's Chig's birthday. We have to bet him to score a TD. And of course we did. And I was up on dollars, but not show record. So... Nothing to fret. We're learning. It's week one. Now it's week two. Sean, how did you do?
Well, okay. I went 1-8 on the picks that I gave out on the show.
Oh.
And at about 11:20, 11:30-ish, I was sitting around waiting for, you know, to leave, to go to a watch party. Hop on the Trend Center. I'm like, I'm just going to bet every game. I'm going to bet the board. And thank God I did. Ended up 7-12 overall, plus the Chig touchdown. So I apologize that those were not put out on the Twitter or, you know, so any social media. But yeah, I'm up in dollars, but I'm down in vibes.
Yes. Precisely. Do we want to touch on last week, or do we want to just kind of, when we're touching on the games that we're betting, kind of reference last week? Dude,
Well,
how are we feeling?
I don't really have too much to say. I mean, about last week, I think you summed it up perfectly. It's a learning week. A lot of teams need to learn how to do things. A lot of one quarterback needs to learn how to not be a fucking idiot, but we'll get there, I'm sure.
Yes, Bryce Young.
No,
That
not who I was talking about.
was a joke.
Okay.
I
He's
know.
not an idiot. He's just bad.
He seems like a nice kid.
I think the two can go hand in hand.
True. I
Um,
mean,
but
whatever. Yeah.
yeah, let's just get into this
Let's
week.
just get into it.
All right, let's get into this week. Okay, game one, 49ers at the Vikings. Vikings are home dogs by 6 points. And I'm going to pick on Sean first. What do you see in this game? What are you feeling?
Well, we saw the Vikings were pretty impressive, but I think we need to take a step back and remember that they played the Giants and their god-awful defense. Sam Darnold looked comfortable, but I don't think he did anything like too incredible. Two touchdowns, like that's good. But again, playing the Giants. The Vikings defense made Daniel Jones look like an undrafted rookie, making his first NFL start with two interceptions and five sacks. I don't think the Vikings will be able to dominate like they did against the Giants, and 49ers look to already be in midseason form even without CMC. I like the 49ers to cover five. I got 5.5 here.
Okay. I agree. It's I mean, Sam Darnold, anyone could beat up on the Giants, who might end up being the worst team in the league. It's them or like the Panthers at this point. Who's actually worse? From what we know from week one. I mean, I also have the 49ers. They're in midseason form. But McCaffrey might not play again, but that literally had no effect. It had zero effect on Monday Night Football. They still ran the fuck out of the rock, and they dominated. They went to work. They did their job, and they won convincingly.
The Jets don't have like a bad defense at all. So for them to just get run over like that was surprising. But yeah, I think they're already in midseason form.
Yeah, I agree. I'm also on the Niners minus six. Chris?
I'm going to go contrarian here. I got Vikings plus 6.5. The Niners are far and away the better team. I mean, Sam Darnold was fine, but he's just, and he only has to be fine for this offense to be good. Just short week for the Niners on the road, laying a touchdown. That's a lot to ask, even for a great team like the 49ers. I think the Niners win this game. I think the Vikings keep it within a touchdown. That's pretty much as short and sweet and to the point. McCaffrey's not going to play. Rappaport said, according to reports, he's not going to play. Rappaport said he was a long shot to play. And we're going to ask an undrafted free agent to run for another $150. This time on the road, I don't see it. I think the Vikings win, or I think the Niners win. Vikings keep it within a touchdown.
Okay, excellent
I
analysis.
see your point, and I don't hate it,
Oh, I don't
but
hate it. I
yeah.
will say, whenever the last, I guess really just week one in the NFL, whenever we agreed on games, it never went well. So
No,
we all had
because
the Ravens, we all had the Packers, Eagles under, I believe.
I had
We
them
all had
under.
the Jets.
Yep.
All those lost. So
Yeah, if two out of the three of us or one out of the three of us can win, I say that's a job well
yeah,
done,
I'm a
honestly. Yeah.
somebody wins something.
Yeah. Trying to be professionals here, giving out losers.
Moving on, got Saints Cowboys. Cowboys are home favorites by 6.5. And if, from what we know last week, Saints beat the fuck out of the Panthers. Shocker. I was just the idiot who took the Panthers. I was just riding a trend. Just riding a trend. And nothing wrong with that. And the Cowboys beat the fuck out of the Browns, who I didn't really see that coming. I saw I mean I bet on the Cowboys, so I knew that they would win, but not that much. Yeah, Cowboys favored by 6.5. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I did not see the Cowboys like beating the living shit out of the Browns coming. But they just, the Cowboys reminded us, is like, this is what they do. They beat the shit out of bad teams. I think the Browns are a bad team this year, especially with, I mean, if their defense is going to play like that, they're going to be a bad team. And the New Orleans Saints, despite what last week showed, they're a bad team. I'm taking the Cowboys -6.5. This is what they do. They run it up against bad teams, especially at home. So Cowboys -6.5. All damn day, honestly. It's not really even that much of a thought in my mind. But, yeah. Sean, what are you taking?
Well, we just talked about how we all were going to take the same thing. But I am going to lean Dallas -6.5 here. Not only do the Cowboys, you know, run it up on bad teams, but the Cowboys are a very good, very, very good home team, going 17-8 against the spread over the past three seasons and 6-2 against the spread last season. They were a perfect 8-0 straight up at home during the regular season. Even when the Cowboys aren't at home, when they're favorites, they are 27-11 against the spread, winning 8 of their last 2, according to our friends over at the Trend Center. So there is a trend on the Cowboys, and I will be taking it.
Okay. I'm not taking the Cowboys. I'm not taking the Saints either. I'm taking the over. I'm taking the over here. It feels like the Saints are a bad team, but it sounds like they are somewhat competent on offense. And I kind of put that kind of in the same realm as the Browns offense. Like, I mean, I think the Browns offense is awful. You know, not with like Deshaun, you know, he's, we don't even know if he's going to play, but we're not picking the Browns game this week. But that's besides the point. But the point is, when he is in, it was a dumpster fire. He was bad. He was awful. And like Chris said, the Cowboys make awful teams look even worse. But the Cowboys defense was able to give up. What was it? They gave up like 17 points or something. And so I'm taking the over. I think the Cowboys are going to run it up, and I think that the Saints are also going to score a little bit of points. I'm taking over 46. It felt weird. It felt too easy taking the Cowboys -6.5. So I'm going with the over. But that's my take. Let's see. Next game, Bengals at the Chiefs, in Arrowhead. Chiefs favored by 5.5. And I kind of hate this game. Like, I don't really know what I'm going to get from either team. Like, on one hand, it's like, okay, Joe Burrow has a pretty good record in Arrowhead. But at the same time, like, the Chiefs also kind of look in mid-season form, as well as the Bengals are slow starters. But is it always week one? Is it week two as well? I don't know. It's tough to say, and I hate picking this, but I'm picking the Chiefs -5.5 here. It just feels like there's more in that kind of reasons to pick that than there is to pick the Bengals. I mean, you lose to the Patriots. Come on. Like, if you lost to like a good team, it's like, all right, you lost to a good team. But they lost to the Patriots. Like, and they're supposed to be ass, but yeah, I'm taking the Chiefs -5.5 here. Chris, what do you think?
I agree. I don't agree with your pick. I hate this game. I don't like this line, 5.5. Don't like it. But I'm taking the Bengals plus 5.5. This just feels like the perfect time. Buy low and sell high on teams. I mean, the Bengals looked like shit last week. I mean, they couldn't do anything. They couldn't move the ball at all. Joe Burrow can't even hold a damn water bottle. How are they going to go into Arrowhead and keep it competitive against the Chiefs? But that's just kind of what the NFL is. Like you don't see these kind of games coming. And then it's like, oh, shit, this is going to be an instant classic. The Bengals always keep it close against the Chiefs, at least with Burrow lately. I think like Burrow has that dog in him, especially against the Chiefs. And Joe Burrow, as an underdog in his career of 3 points or more, is 15-2 ATS. So, yeah, Chiefs probably win this game with some tomfoolery, maybe a little ref shenanigans. That's been kind of custom to happen lately. But I think the Bengals keep it close. Bengals plus 5.5 in Arrowhead. Sean, what are you taking?
I'm also going to be on the Chiefs. I forgot to write it down, so I apologize. But I did a quick Google search. Joe Burrow has, I don't know if you guys know this, but he has historically struggled throughout the first 4 weeks of the season. In each, you know, NFL season that he started. In his first two games of the year, he is 2-6 against the spread. So, I'm not totally confident in Joe Burrow and his led Bengals. He has something to prove, and it is not great early on in the season, and I can't really put faith in Joey B right now, or the Bengals, especially after their performance against the Patriots. Bengals do have a 3-2 straight up and against the spread record against the Chiefs. So I mean, this is matchup number 6 for Joey B and Patty Mahomes. So it's do or die for Patty, I think. He's got to get those numbers back up. He's got to show that, you know, oh, nobody can beat him in the playoffs except Joe Burrow. It's like, you got to show him that you can beat Joe Burrow even early in the season. So I like the Chiefs minus 5.
Okay. Right on. Next game, Sunday Night Football. Bears at Texans. Texans are favored by 6. To me, this line feels right. It feels like, yeah, I think if the Texans just play smart football, they'll win by 6. And that's my pick. I'm taking the Texans minus 6. The Titans certainly would have covered 6 if they just weren't stupid. Just didn't immediately throw the game away. I do think that the Bears have a pretty good defense. And I think that the Texans are just a completely more competent team. Sunday Night Football, this game's probably going to stink, but I'm taking the Texans minus 6. Sean, what are you thinking?
I'm also on the Texans. I kind of love the Texans to cover this 6-point spread. The Bears' defense was dominant against the Titans. But, you know, C.J. Stroud isn't that type of quarterback when you have the lead and you throw a shovel pass outside the numbers just straight to a receiver. He doesn't make those big boneheaded mistakes. The Texans have a much better offense than the Titans, which will be a tougher matchup for the Bears D. Caleb Williams, not impressive at all. Nope. Did not play great. And I think the Texans can cover this spread easy at home. Easy. Chris, are you in agreeance?
Yeah, I said I wasn't going to. I was going to try to mix it up, not make sure we're on the same thing for every pick. But, yeah, I'm taking Texans minus 6. For everything you just said, the Titans had that game by the balls until they just decided to lose. I mean, yeah, block punt and then a god-awful pick 6 and then the game's over. Yeah, the Texans aren't doing that. They are an actual, like, they're a good football team. So, as much as I hate to say it, but there are also some stats to back this up. Teams, ooh, yes, these are some juicy ones too. Teams who have come back from 14 points or more when their next game is on the road, 61, 82, and 2 against the spread.
61, 2, what?
82 and 2.
Oh, okay.
Bad record. Okay. Bad record. And the Bears, I mean, they've been ass for a while now, it feels like. They have not started the season 2-0 against the spread. Sorry, they've started the season 2-0 against spread only once since 06, and that was 2018.
Yikes.
So, yeah, give me the Texans are a good team. If they have their foot on their throat, they're not going to let up. Yeah, Texans minus 6. And
yeah. Yeah, okay, right on.
This is easy. This is an easy game.
That's what makes me hate it. I hate it. Yeah, I know, so
but
much.
But you got to just trust your gut here and just put your foot on the gas and just say, just take the Texans.
And this is like me not being like a hater, being like, but Caleb Williams did not look great.
He didn't look good.
He contributed like 2 points on offense.
That's true.
That's it.
I mean, he just didn't, like, he was missing guys deep. Like, he wasn't bad. Like, he took care of the ball. He didn't do anything wrong. He just didn't do anything special. And I think, like, if you're going to beat the Texans, especially on Sunday Night Football, you're going to have to do something to win your team the game. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if he can do that right now because he hasn't shown it.
Yeah. Cool. That's Sunday Night Football. Next game, Monday Night Football. This is Falcons at the Eagles. Battle of the Birds. We got Eagles at home. -6.5.
Was that an eagle or a falcon?
I think it was more of a crow, but it was a bird.
Yes, the birds, both birds. Eagles at home, -6.5. Chris, what do you think about this game?
All right. First total I'm taking. -47.5. I didn't watch the Falcons-Steelers game, but just looking at box scores, man, the Falcons' offense don't look that good. I mean, Steelers don't score a touchdown, and you still lose. That ain't ideal. From everything I've read, Kirk Cousins was just a statue. Like, he would not move outside of the pocket. That makes me think he's not 100% healthy. So, I'm taking, -47. I think this game's just going to suck, if I'm being honest. Jalen Hurts didn't look great, especially to start the game last week. A bad interception and then a fumble, which I guess technically wasn't his fault, but still a fumble. I think the Falcons have good defense. Eagles, Falcons, -47.5, Sunday Night Football. Sean, what are you taking?
I am taking the Eagles, -6.5. It's the Eagles. Like you said, Chris, I didn't watch the Steelers-Falcons game, but yeah, I heard Kirk Cousins has some mobility problems. Makes me think his Achilles injury is still a major worry for the Falcons. Like you said, Eagles didn't look pretty in Brazil. They get a little extra days of rest, and now they're back home at the Lynx. So I think they're back to their old ways, and I think they could put up 30 on the Falcons. So Eagles -6.5. Easy. I've never hit a spread faster, if I'm being honest.
I'm with Chris. I'm taking the under 47. I also think this game is going to stink. Both quarterbacks didn't look great. I think Eagles are probably going to run it a lot more now that they have Saquon, someone dependable. Falcons defense is competent. But you can't trust them to put up points. And so for that reason, I'm taking under 47. It's also a prime time under. Yes, Chris.
I didn't I was wondering if you're going to mention the stat from Trent Center, because I remember you liked it last year. It's our the well-rested unders trend. I remember you brought this up. I think it was after, it was like maybe one or maybe even two international games. But yeah, when both teams coming into a game have 7+ days of rest, the under is 76-40-2.
I completely forgot that one, but I'm taking the under. Doesn't matter. But yes, also a prime time under. Okay, that's the main slate. We got our surefire picks coming up. What is our we all lost our surefire pick, so that was not fun. But we're back again to give you another surefire double unit play, guaranteed not to lose bet. And I am going to ask Sean what his surefire is.
All right. I'm going to double dip in a game that we've already talked about, and it's the Bengals Chiefs under 47.5. Like I said, Joey B and Patty Mahomes going head to head for matchup number 6. In those 5 matchups, the under is 4-1. I will once again be betting the under here. There is a trend on Trend Center, and I mentioned how kind of bad Joe Burrow is early on in the season. But this trend has a 76.5 win rate and is 9-1 in its last 10. And it's early Joe unders. In the first 4 weeks, Joe Burrow's led Bengals are 13-4 on the under.
All right. Let's go.
Surefire double unit guaranteed not to lose. Pick of the week. Bengals Chiefs under 47.5.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
I'll give out mine. Mine is similar to Sean's. It's also an under, and it's the under in the Bears-Texans game. This game is going to stink. It's under 45.5. The Bears defense is good. They have a good defense. The Texans defense is good, relatively. It's relatively good. It's not as good as the Titans defense, but we went full frittata on Sunday. So I'm going under 45.5. This game is going to stink. Hopefully the Texans also cover, but this game is going to stink. Caleb Williams isn't going to do anything in this game. And CJ Stroud is going to be CJ Stroud and just, you know, be him and just put up points and cover by 6 and play defense. And that's all she wrote. Double unit play under 45.5. Chris, what is yours?
All right. Well, much like both of you, I'm also going back to a game we've already discussed, but I am doubling up on the Dallas Cowboys -6.5 against New Orleans Saints. And I got some stats for your asses. Mike McCarthy in his career in the first 2 weeks of the season, 21-13-1 against the spread, 3-1 in his first 2 years with Dallas, or first 2 weeks of the season with Dallas. There we go. in Mike McCarthy's career in September and October, he is 71-48-3 against the spread in money. Dennis Allen, the New Orleans Saints head coach, after a straight up win earlier than November in the season, 1-13-2 against the spread.
Oh.
Gross.
Oh. Gross. That makes me want to puke.
And one last one, Derek Carr, as a favorite in his career, 22-37-2 against the spread. The Dallas Cowboys are going to beat the ever-living shit out of the New Orleans Saints because the Saints are bad. And the like I said, the Cowboys love to run up the score, maybe put up a 40-50 burger against just bad teams. So, yes, the Dallas Cowboys -6.5 is my double unit, surefire, guaranteed not to lose play of the week.
Let's go. Let's go.
It was beautiful.
Got me stats. Fired up.
It was beautiful.
Chrissy Stats
is back.
Now we're actually going pretty fast here. We're just so fired up to move on to week two.
None of the pageantry. Let's just get the winners out and get out of here.
Okay. All right. Extra plays. Who wants to go first? Chris, you go first.
All right. I'll go first. Trying to figure out when we start here. Okay. The Detroit Football Lions. It came through for me in overtime last week, so I'm running it back this week. Lions -7 against the Bucks. Bucks are banged up on defense. That ain't good because the Lions, they didn't look great on offense last week. I think they get it right this week. They finally put it all together, and I think they run it up against the Bucks. Also, I watched the Manders-Bucks game last week. The Bucks offense, I mean, yeah, they scored 37 points. Guys were wide open. I mean, I got some serious issues. Like, I got some concerns with the Commanders' defense. Like, they did not look good. So, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Detroit's got a good defense. I think, yeah, they locked down Baker, and they went by more than a touchdown. All right. The rest of these, kind of stinky, not going to lie. I just said how bad the Commanders' defense is. But I'm taking them on the money line against the New York Giants because I said it last week and I will say it again. If you give me -120 against the god awful Giants who look like they're trying to lose football games, I am going to take it. I don't care if it's a trap. I don't care. The Commanders -120. Jaden Daniels, it looks pretty good. I'll say that. And the Giants, like I said, I mean, the Giants are just so bad. So, yeah, Manders money line. All right. Hear me out. Packers +3.5.
I have stopped listening.
Who are they playing?
The Colts.
The Colts.
I know.
I'll hear you.
I know Malik Willis is starting, but I kind of like whenever, like, team's best player is out, I kind of like to bet on that team because – she feels like everyone counts them out. I think everyone is on the Colts already, and I think they will be as the week goes on. I mean, Anthony Richardson wasn't great last. Like, he has had some really good throws, I'll say that. But overall, he's 9-19. Like, that's just okay. Dare I say, like, pretty mediocre. So, like, yes, he threw a bunch of, like, that's just box score watching. He did have a lot of really good throws. But I don't know. I think the Packers keep it close. Matt LaFleur in his career as a dog of 3 points or more, 14-3 against the spread. Ride with my king, Malik Willis, one more time, I guess. Packers +3.5. And then the last one, maybe the stinkiest of the stinkies. Steelers, Broncos, -36.5. This game is going to suck. Both these offenses are just god-awful. Would you care to guess how many combined touchdowns they have scored this season? Through week one, obviously. But how many touchdowns have they scored combined?
Two.
One.
Oh.
One. Touchdown. Really? Yeah.
The Steelers, they lost 20-26?
The Steelers did not score a touchdown. So combined, they have scored one touchdown. The Broncos scored one touchdown.
Oh, wow.
Oh. I thought they scored two.
No, they scored one. Yeah. At least I'm pretty sure. But, but yeah, Bo Nix is god-awful. He's not an NFL quarterback. Justin Fields, who is starting this game again, is fine. Like, he didn't do anything wrong against the Falcons. He didn't really do a whole – I mean, he was fine. He was exactly what they needed him to be. I think that's just who he is. So, I mean, yeah, two shitty offenses and some, I mean, Steelers have a really good defense. Broncos defense, nothing to sneeze at. This could be a race to 17, if I'm being honest. So, yeah, -36.5 to round it out. A lot of stinky extra plays on this one, but these are winners. Will, what else you got?
So, I don't know how I missed Lions -7. I think I'm adding that to my card. I also have the Manders money line versus the Giants. God, the Giants don't look competent in any phase of the game. Jaden Daniels is electric. And so I mean, this is, you summed it up. I'm taking the Manders. And then I only have one more play, but it is a trend center play. I'm taking the Rams money line versus the Cardinals. This is in Arizona. I got the trend right here. Okay, so when two winless teams go head to head, take the dog. They are 57, 11, and 3 against the spread. And so I'm taking the Rams money line. They're only dogs by one. So I feel like taking money line, I don't know, I guess there's value there. It's just, I don't know, it's a lot easier to root for that, I guess. But I'm taking the Rams money line here. Puka's gone, which is a little bit worried, but also the Cardinals, like, they were able to put up points and hang in there with against the Bills, but I mean, he missed Marvin Harrison a lot, kind of. Like, he did not play very well with him.
Did you see what he said? And I guess it was like a presser or something afterwards.
No.
He said, "It's not my job to get the ball to Marvin Harrison Jr."
Go fuck yourself.
Motherfucker, that is your only
Jesus
job.
Jesus Christ.
To throw the ball to your best receiver.
Christ. I hate Kyler Murray. I hate that man. I might take, I don't have this on my card, but I might take Rams money line just to spite this man.
You know what? I'll take it.
Yeah, Rams, I'll add it. Line. Fuck it. Rams money line. Also, Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford are back to being butt buddies. So,
yeah, and like
they're gonna do great.
They were hanging in there with the Lions, which is one of the top echelon teams, and like, I feel like this is an easy dub for the Rams.
The only person of color on that Rams offense goes down, and he goes right back to Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, you know,
if it, broke,
if it ain't broke.
Confirmed racist, but it's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's relax.
It's a joke. It is a joke, but we can't have fun.
Can't guys have hobbies anymore?
Saying he throws to a lot of Caucasians. That's all I'm saying.
It's just all what right. happens. But yeah, that's it for my plays. Three extra plays. Lions minus 7 against the Bucks, Manders money line versus the Giants, and Rams money line against the Cardinals. You know, we love to hate Kyler Murray. Sean, what else you got?
Yeah, I'm also on the Lions minus 7. It's the second week in a row we get a playoff rematch for the Lions, which is fun. But since Jared Goff came to the Detroit Lions, they are 19-5-1 against the spread at home and 36-5-1 all time, which is impressive considering how awful they were in 21 and 22. And half of 22, I'll say that. But Bucks looked good both sides of the ball, but playing at home against playing at home against Goff, you gotta take the Lions here. I don't think I think it'll be a little sweaty, but I do like the Lions here. I am also on the Manders money line. This is purely a let's get Jaden Daniels a win bet. And who else to give it to him other than Danny Dimes led Giants at home? Division rival. I love it so much. Will, does that head-to-head both teams lost, does that apply to the Titans?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we are going to the game.
Right, yes.
So I am going to take the Titans plus 3.5.
Unfortunately,
and I haven't,
we're going to the game.
Yes, and I...
We all seem so excited.
Yes, and I have hardly bet any dogs this week. So, yeah, let's just get a dog in there.
I mean, I'll bet it too. I'll end up betting it too.
Yeah.
We'll see how Saturday goes.
Okay. That's honestly fair. But
Yeah. All right. Go
Yeah,
ahead.
go
Sorry.
ahead. No,
Well,
I wasn't.
I
I
was gonna
was.
say I was playing on this. Maybe this game is just a good old fashioned. Let's just watch the boys play without putting any money on
Nope.
it. I mean, God, they just.
You know we can't do that. We'll be at the bar,
I
like,
know,
you know we
but
can't do
I'm gonna at least pretend to
that.
be responsible for this part of the week. So
Okay.
if I have a decent Saturday, I'll probably add it. If
Right.
not, I'll probably have some ridiculous parlay that'll lose, but.
All right, moving on. Got a couple more plays. I'm gonna take the Ravens -9. They didn't shine very bright as I was hoping they would on Thursday, but they're back home against the Raiders, and this is a perfect opportunity to show what they've built in this offseason. Come out strong, make a statement. They are also 7-1 against the Raiders in their last 8 games when playing at home. So, like that. I will be going against our king, Malik Willis, Colts -3.5. Gotta go Colts here. Without Jordan Love, Malik Willis is throwing 0 TDs and 3 interceptions in his career. I've seen what he can do. I can't put any faith in him. Yeah, like you said, Chris, Tony, he's got his flaws, but man, he can chuck that ball deep. I do expect this to be a heavy John Taylor game wearing down that front seven. Indy is also 8-0 against the spread in their last 8 NFC North opponents. So you could throw that LaFleur stat right out the window.
Okay.
Oh,
I didn't know you're just buddies with the entire Colts, Tony Richardson,
you
John
didn't know
Taylor.
that? Yeah. You didn't know that?
I guess I didn't.
I was the first one to know when Andrew Luck retired.
When you mean when Drew Luck retired?
When Drew Luck retired.
Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies closer.
Yes. I will also be rocking with the Jags this week, -3.5. God, Cleveland looks bad. All season, all off season, I heard, don't be surprised if the Browns make a deep run. Yeah, fucking right, dude.
I will be
Without Nick
surprised.
Chubb, without Nick Chubb and the Browns having to rely on Deshaun Watson, this is just a recipe for disaster. Jags looked impressive against the Fins. I think their defense can make Deshaun's life even more brutal than it already is. With the ESPN alerts we keep getting about him.
Would he like play?
Yeah,
He'll
he's
play
still
this. He'll play
playing. He'll
this
play
week.
this week.
Going
Innocent until
forward, who
proven,
knows? But
innocent until proven guilty.
I know, I mean,
That
the
is how
Browns
it.
want him to be guilty so they can kick him to the
Yeah.
curb.
Yeah,
Maybe that's a
they might be
tactic.
helping. They might be helping.
I'll be playing evidence.
Plus the Browns are 1-4 against the spread in their last 5 visits in Jacksonville. In my last play, I actually made this one on TrendCenter because I was curious. Because Mike Tomlin is really the only like long tenured coach we have left. Is that correct besides Andy Reid?
I mean,
Maybe,
McCarthy's been around, but
I mean, but like
Harbaugh,
with
but
a
he went
team,
away.
like a tenured with one team. So you have
Harbaugh.
stats on one team.
Jim Harbaugh. Or
Yeah, he's
John
been around a
Harbaugh.
while.
John Harbaugh, excuse me.
Right.
But I think
Well,
that's probably it. Yeah, that
because
is.
of the people at Trend Center, the fantastic people, you can now search through, teams and their opponents and select the year. So I just selected the year that Tomlin started coaching up until the present. So historically, Mike Tomlin has struggled against the Broncos, covering the spread just twice in the 9 matchups he has faced against the Denver Broncos. So I'm going to trust the system and lay Broncos +3. I kind of hate it, but if it's a stinky game, if it's
It's true.
a stinky game, I kind of like it.
Nice,
So,
like 16-14, something like that.
yeah, something weird. Hey, Broncos got 2 safeties last week, so who knows?
It's
Game
true.
changer. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Cool. Is there anything else we wanna touch on?
I just want
any hot takes we want to get off our chest?
I don't know if this is a hot take or anything, but I just want to ask you guys, do you care anything about this whole McCaffrey, like, and what's his, the other running back's name, saying he knew he was going to start on Friday? Do you,
no,
like,
I do not
care
care.
about that at all? Okay.
No, I didn't, I didn't know that that took place.
Yeah, the, what's the guy's name again? The running
Mason?
Back? Mason, yeah, whatever
his Isaiah, name is. Isaiah Mason?
Is that his name?
Let me check.
Okay. Well, he said after in the post game, like right after, like when he was on the field, and then again, like in the post game press conference, they asked him, like, when did you know you're going to start? And he said Friday, and that's, people perked up with that, like, oh, well then we should have known. It is the NFL's duty to cater to us fantasy football players and gamblers to get us this information. And I'm just like, shut the hell up. Like, okay, like, yeah, no shit. The 49ers are going to play it close to the vest about with their best player. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't know all of the rules for when they have to disclose, like, certain injuries. But if they didn't break a rule, who the hell cares? Like, it doesn't matter. The NFL doesn't give a flying fuck about our bets or our fantasy team. So the people who always complain about that just really, I hate it so much. Like, grow the hell up, get off Twitter, and just, like, stop. Just stop.
Yeah, his name was Jordan Mason.
Jordan
Mason. Isaiah wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Not even in the same round.
I was going to say, I thought a J was in there somewhere.
I don't know where I got Isaiah, but.
But yeah, no, just when people were getting, like, legitimately mad about that, like, that the 49ers didn't disclose it. And I'm like, shut, like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't, like, when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay. Like, I mean, I was with our buddy in our league at the time that CMC was announced that he was not going to start, and he had to get on that waiver wire real quick, pick up Jordan Mason. But I don't even know if I really have an opinion on that, to be honest. Like, you're probably going to take whoever on whatever side of the ball you were already on either way. If you're on the Jets, you were on the Jets. If you're on the Niners, you were on the Niners.
And yeah, like, I don't have an opinion. Like, I don't give a shit about them not telling us. Like, I couldn't care less about that. It's just the people getting mad about that is what made me mad, which I get is not great either. But I was like, who do you think you are? Why do you need to, like, it is not Kyle Shanahan's job to get you this information. Shut the hell up.
If you're so mad about it, go get a job in the NFL and then make change happen from the inside.
Like a grassroots campaign.
Grassroots campaign. If you're that mad about it, instead of firing off your Twitter fingers, go actually do something about it.
Yes. No, I mean, yeah, I just, when people were getting legitimately upset about that, I was like, why? Why?
Just,
what did,
just shut up.
What did y'all think about seeing Russell Wilson on the sideline in full pads, even though he was marked injured? That's kind of silly.
I mean, he's a hardo, so I'm not, it's dumb, but I'm not surprised.
That was the most... That was the most Russell Wilson thing he could have done. You know, like, just like suited up, just, I'm ready, coach. It's like, no, you're not playing. It's like, but I'm all padded up. You need me to go out there? It's like, no, you cannot play. I'm going to pad up anyways.
If he was trying to pull a Jameis Winston at Florida State, then I would respect it. But he wasn't trying to do that. He's just a nerd and a hardo. So, like, no. It was lame as hell, but that's just who Russell Wilson is.
easily the cringiest NFL player.
Yeah.
Now that Juju Smith-Schuster has stopped doing his TikTok dances, NFL player.
See, I don't even know if Juju was that cringy. I just thought, like, I mean, I didn't
Why are you
like
doing
it.
This?
I didn't like it, but I was like, this isn't for me. I'm not his target audience. So
Yeah.
Like maybe whoever his target audience is enjoys it. God bless him. I think it's dumb as fuck, but whatever. But yeah, Russ, I don't think he is just cringy. I don't think anyone's like, yes, I support every single decision Russell Wilson has made in his entire career.
God, I
Good.
hope not.
Good guy. Good guy. So like, but just very cringy,
Yeah.
yes.
Is that it? Is there any other silly things that happened?
We need to talk about. I hate to be this guy, and I know everybody here hates to be this guy, but can the Chiefs just do whatever the hell they want? Like having your defensive coordinator call a timeout, that should not be allowed to happen. And for it to just be like, yeah, okay, here you go. No penalty, nothing, no consequence.
I don't know what the rule is. Like I know that's not allowed, but like I don't know what the rule is on that. Like if the ref fucks up and is like, oh, sorry, like I just saw a timeout and granted it and gave it to him, if there's supposed to be repercussions from that, I have no idea. But yeah, I mean, they can.
Yeah.
Short answer, they can and they will.
Yeah, it's just I mean, we've lived with it for like what, 7 years now, I guess.
Something like that.
But I mean, it hasn't been this bad.
It doesn't get any easier
Last
though.
2 or 3 years, it's gotten to be like blatant. Like, I'm not saying that there's shenanigans. There probably is. But it's gotten to be a last few years where it's like, okay, come on. Like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, they're the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
They
And
get all
that's
the
just,
calls. They're LeBron James.
there's always a team in every league, every sport, there's a team that gets this, and it's the Chiefs' turn to get it. It's the way it is. It
Yeah.
sucks,
It
but it's
sucks.
the way it is.
I mean, I'm not going to start a grassroots campaign and, go in there and make change happen. God, this is getting insufferable. Like, it is just bad. Like, I really hate it, and it bothers me a lot, but there's nothing I can do about it.
I mean, yeah, that with like the however many new whatever that like illegal formation penalties that the Ravens O-line got, specifically
Bro.
that whoever 79 was. And then, I mean, I wasn't watching every game. How many times was that called throughout the week?
I'm gonna look
I
it
would
up.
like, because I saw it a shit ton in that Ravens game, specifically on the Ravens. I think I saw it a couple more times. But like I
Yeah.
wasn't watching every other game, like other than the Titans game, wasn't really locked into every other game, so I could have missed it. But it just really seemed like they were like, "Hey, we're gonna hammer this home for the first possession against the Ravens," and then just kind of whatever it.
Yeah,
There were 22 illegal formation flags thrown in 16 games in week one.
and I would say 5 of those were the Ravens.
That is exactly correct.
Let's go.
Wow.
I mean,
Yeah, a quarter of those were one team,
is
and
this
they
a new
happened to play against
rule?
the Chiefs. Yeah, it. Or I don't know if it's a new rule or if it's one of those where they're actually starting to enforce it.
Yeah, I think they're this has been around. I think they're just starting to crack down on it.
Yeah, it's like
They
that
the
one
refs
year where
gotta
they.
have a new thing every year.
Yeah, it's like what year was it when they started like, oh, taunting is actually a penalty now. And then they just stopped. Like next year this won't be a thing.
Yeah.
Maybe even
But
next
like
week, honestly. If a quarter of them were called in the first game, it might not even be a week.
yeah.
And just like I mean, there was that one in the Titans game where Boyd told Ridley to move up, and then the
That would
ref was
yeah.
just like, I was like,
That
why?
was just a dumbass penalty. Like that
Yeah.
wasn't on a whatever that this rule is. That was just them being dumb.
Yeah.
But
God,
yeah.
but that's going to get old real quick. I'll
And
tell you that.
I mean, how much longer are they going to do? I think maybe by like week four, either the teams will get the message or they'll just kind of be like, you know what? Whatever.
At least it wasn't like the year where you could challenge defensive pass interference. That was interesting.
Did anyone like actually do that though?
I think I like, a lot of people challenged it. I forget the exact number of times it got challenged, but I remember something like three got overturned, like the entire season.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was like no, the refs were never gonna overturn.
Yeah,
because that call. Would be
a referee admitting they were wrong. So yeah. That was just they pandered to the city of New Orleans for a season. Like, all right, we'll make this a rule now, and then. They got to, and then they probably told the, I mean, I don't want to say probably, they might've told the refs like, hey, don't overturn any of these. And then after the season, we'll be like, well, we tried it. It didn't work. So we're getting rid of it.
Yeah.
And like slowed down the game a lot.
Oh, it was awful. I mean, you got to a point where it's like, unless the guy pulled out a gun and shot someone in the head, they weren't calling it back. It was just like, what's the point? I think I watched one game where they called it back. And I was like, oh my God, I actually did something. But yeah, so it was dumb.
But yeah, with the illegal formation stuff, it's not like, you know, these players are lining up like the flying V from the Mighty Ducks, you know, like they're not doing any, they're just lining up. They're just like a little beyond the, is it the center's belt buckle?
Like, it's like the helmet has to line up with like the center's belt buckle or something to that degree.
Jesus.
I don't know. It,
take a pill and just.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't get it. But.
Christ.
Yeah, like Will says, like the refs have to crack down on something stupid every year.
Oh, yeah. Four of those illegal formations were against the Browns.
Huh. So. I guess I really wasn't paying much attention to that game.
In two games, in two separate games, they called nine total illegal formation penalties.
And who are those teams playing? The Chiefs and the Cowboys.
Yep.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Funny how that works.
Any other conspiracy theories?
It's not a conspiracy, just general question. What do we think of Tom Brady in the booth?
It was weird.
It was a little weird. It was, you know, it's his first time in the booth. Like, I don't know.
That was fine. I think I said it when we were watching it. I don't care for his voice.
Yeah. It's kind of high.
Yeah. Well, like when we first listened to like the first like thing I heard him say, he said something and he has a naturally like higher pitched voice and he kind of made it higher and a little bit louder. And I was like, oh my God, like this is terrible.
Stop it, you freak.
I mean, maybe I'll get used to it, but I just don't care for his voice. I don't think it's good for TV, good for calling games. I thought his analysis, everything was fine. It wasn't anything special, but I just don't care for his voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you listen, he could either be Tom Brady in the booth where, you know, he does the first game and then it's not that great, but then, you know, 20 games later, he's like, all right, this is good. Or it could be like Tony Romo, where in the beginning, he was like, awesome.
He was just shouting. Savant.
Yeah, he was shouting out the plays right before they happened. It was wild. And now he's not that great. Now he's always just like, I don't know, Jim.
We do need justice for Greg Olsen.
Yes.
Yeah.
That man, oh.
I feel bad. I feel bad for that man.
Just highway robbery for like a genuinely good color commentator. Just, nope, Tom Brady wants to do this now, so kick rocks, pal.
Yeah, Greg Olsen was great. Like, he was like one of the top broadcasters, like, in recent memory.
Yeah, I mean, he was immediately like the Fox number one like color guy, and he was good. He was really good. And then yeah, he was like, nope, Tommy wants a turn, so piss off.
Kick rocks, kid.
Kick rocks.
Did he call? I mean, we didn't have the volume. We didn't have the volume on the entire game. Did he call the Titans game?
No, that was Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, that was it. No.
And
I was wondering.
Okay.
I was
we're bringing up the Titans game. We're bringing up Mark Sanchez. During that god-awful pick that we mentioned earlier, if Mark Sanchez is saying, oh, no, that's a problem, dude. That is bad.
That man's seen some shit.
That man has one of the most infamous fumbles in all of football, all of the NFL. And if he says, oh, no, as the ball is leaving the fingertips, you have a problem.
I mean, yeah, that was, I mean, that everything about that was awful. But just, that was his, like, just gut reaction. Like, he saw that going, he was, oh, no.
I mean, God.
It was very, I mean, it was, it's very funny to look back on. But, yeah, that was.
Do we want to discuss Tyreek Hill? And the arresting? Detaining?
Detained, yes.
Nah, no. I mean,
did you see the footage?
Yeah,
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't watched like the full footage.
I mean, it's not great, but he got out and scored an 80-yard touchdown. So
80 yards out the cuff for for a TD.
So, yeah, it's like, yeah, it was like, yeah, it wasn't great, but I don't think it's really much of a issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really want to get in this hot button subject, to be honest. Like, it was bad. Shouldn't have happened. Yeah. That's about it. That's all I'll say.
I loved all the memes that came from his tweet, where it's like, we have to make a change or something like that, or whatever it was. There's people quoting it. When Tyreek Hill sees a pregnant woman not getting beaten. Because
I mean,
he did that.
Yeah,
like,
he did that.
Everyone wants to be like, oh, he was like, that wasn't a great situation. Like, he did, like, it wasn't great. But also, he is not a good person. So I don't feel bad for him whatsoever.
What he said after the game, like, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill? I was like, buddy, if you weren't Tyreek Hill, you wouldn't be driving a Lambo to Hard Rock Stadium.
If he lived his exact life as Joe Schmo from down the street, he would be in prison.
Yeah.
Like, for his multiple past offenses. So, like, you're lucky as hell you're Tyreek Hill for a lot of reasons.
But yes, yeah. That whole situation could have been avoided. I did think the cop kind of escalated the situation when it didn't need to be, especially when, you know, your duty as a service officer is to more or less de-escalate these types of conditions and not, you know, trying to get a rouse out of anybody and play the whole, I don't care who you are. Just like, whole thing could have been avoided on both sides. Whole thing could have been avoided.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well. Should I wrap it up, boys?
Let's end on that.
Yeah, let's end on a serious note. Police brutality. Anyway. Yeah. So follow the Twitter, the Instagram, TikTok. Link is in the bio. Bandit lost Thursday Night Football by the hook. He's not gonna make that mistake again. Tune in for that. Check out the Trend Center app, the greatest tool for sports bettors in the world. Get a premium subscription for 15% off using the code TFTM. We love the Trend Center. They've done a lot for us, and they'll do a lot for you. That's it. We'll see you next week with fatter wallets. Like, comment, subscribe. Really helps us out. Really helps our reach, any interaction we get. that you're posting and watching. There are three of us. Now let's make some money.